This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Welcome to Zaslow Show 2.0, presented from day one by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You're dealing with any kind of accident, any personal injury, slip and fall, motorcycle, car accident, bike. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Title sponsors from day number one. No, before day number one of Zaslow Show 2.0, my guys Mark Anajar, Glenn Levine, Ellie Anajar, they believe in me. If you're listening to the show right now and you're dealing with any kind of personal injury, I'm sending you to my friends, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. You don't have to deal with the insurance companies. You don't have to deal with the medical bills. You need to focus on getting right. That's where they come in. They handle all the stuff that you don't want to be bothered with. You need to make sure you're getting healthy, and they're going to make sure you're getting the money that you deserve. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE. That's 800-747-3733. Proud title sponsors of Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome aboard. This is Zaslow Show 2.0. Welcome, Zaslow Show 2.0. It is a Wednesday, the 12th of June. Good to have you aboard, part of the Believe Podcast Network, and presented as always by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. Lousy weather today, lousy weather all day yesterday. If you're involved in an accident, if you get a personal injury, first you call 911. Then you call Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Let them get the money you deserve. You'll get compensated. Let them put their skills to work for you. Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. Tonight, finally, the NBA Finals is back. I mean, Game 2 was played 4 weeks ago. Game 3 tonight, American Airlines Center in Dallas. Mavericks looking to make a series of it. And Bet Online, that's your number one source for all your NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Finals action. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to Bet Online's online casino. Get in on some blackjack, some poker, over 150 slot games for you to choose from. Head to the Bet Online website today. Get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online. The game starts here. Action-packed show today. All right. We're gonna talk NBA. A lot of NBA Finals. Our pal Evan Cohen, ESPN Radio, unsportsmanlike every morning, 6:10 a.m. Eastern, with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty. Our pal is Evan Cohen. He will join us coming. We're gonna get to him in a few minutes here. We're gonna get into all kinds of NBA Finals stuff. I'm gonna ask him, does he believe this series is over? Because you got to remember, I picked the Mavericks to start the series. I don't think the Mavericks are going to win anymore, because if the Mavericks were going to win, I think they had to win one of the first two games. I don't believe they're going to win 4 out of 5 against this Celtic team, all right? I do think the Mavs are going to win tonight, and still make it a series. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you the series is over. You know I hate that. To say a series is over before both teams can even play a home game. The Mavericks are clearly a good team. They're in the finals. The series is over before they've even played a home game. So I do not believe this series is over, but I don't believe that the Mavs are going to win. There's a difference. There's a difference between the series being over and thinking a team is going to win. So I think the Celtics are going to win, but I do not believe this series is over. Hell, I would say the same thing about the Panthers and Oilers. I believe the Panthers are going to win. I do not believe that series is over. So we'll ask our pal Evan Cohen about that. We'll talk about Kyrie. We'll mix in a few other things. We'll see how much. Is he devoting any time? Are they talking about the greatest hockey team in the land? Your favorite little hockey team, the Florida Panthers? Are they devoting any time to them on Unsportsmanlike? We'll get to the bottom of that, of course. Now, we're also going to talk. I told you guys, I'm not a WNBA guy, all right? I barely know what's going on, but I'm keeping track. And everything Caitlin Clark is a massive story. So, Maria Marino, our new friend, ESPN Radio on the weekends, host on Action Network. She also does the WNBA podcast. She is very dialed in. So we'll get Maria on the show here today. We'll talk about Caitlin Clark, WNBA, being left off of Team USA. Maybe she'll even give us some plays for Game 3 tonight, Mavs and Celtics. So Maria Marino will join us. We'll get to Evan Cohen coming up in a moment here. But the big news of the day, Sasha Barkov. That's right, on the ice this morning. Yup, you know it. Sasha Barkov was on the ice this morning. He was wearing his regular practice jersey. He's even wearing a regular helmet and a regular face gear. So not even any kind of cage to cover up his mouth if there was a jaw injury or something. Alexander Barkov on the ice with his teammates this morning before they fly out later today. Looking like he is ready to go for Game 3 tomorrow night. That's the best news you could have possibly woken up to today. How you love that? So, that's the big news of the day. I'll give you a little bit more on the Panthers coming up, but let's get to our pal Evan. All guests on Zaslow Show 2.0, of course, brought to us by the official beer of the program, Johnny Cuba, European roots with that Caribbean soul, a refreshing German lager in a can. That's how you'll enjoy the NBA Finals tonight, Game 3. Make sure you always drink responsibly, and don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra, stay tranquilo. Joining us now is our pal Evan Cohen, ESPN Radio, unsportsmanlike every morning, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern time. All-around good guy, a mensch. Evan, how are you today? Hello.
Zaz, you know what's amazing? Today, I had Dog on our show.
I saw you looking forward to going back and watching.
And you have your dog on you, it looks like, currently.
That's right. I was just petting him. He was up on my side here looking for that affection. That is true. That's a good eye out of you, Evan. Good job.
Thank you. So, yes.
I mean, is there anyone better? You know, look, Jerry West, 86 years old.
He had not passed at the time we had Dog on. Can I tell you? So this is Mad Dog Chris Russo.
Really?
So he passed, I want to say at like 9, or at least the announcement was like at 9:42, 43 a.m. Eastern. So Dog was on at about, I don't know, let's call it 9:20. And no joke, he was praising Jerry West during the interview because we were asking about the finals, and he brought up how Stan Van Gundy said that Kyrie and Luka are the best offensive backcourt ever, and said, I mean, please, have you heard of Jerry West and Gail Goodrich? And then started praising Jerry West. He dies 20 minutes later. There's an argument that Paul killed him.
Oh, I mean, like, I, you know, not that he friends with him or whatever, worked with him, but there are very few people, I think, that are better to have on in the media landscape to talk about someone like Jerry West than Dog.
Well, we had him, but he was talking about Jerry West. Sick irony in this. Before, obviously, he sadly passed today. We had PJ Carlissimo on as it happened. I brought it up to PJ Carlissimo, and this was interesting because I'm like, I'm in a tricky spot.
Hold on, you had to break it to PJ?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
But here's the thing. So I was debating in my head, do I bring this up? Do I not bring it up? Do I wait till he's off the air? And I'm like, I got to just pass this along. And his reaction was, yeah, unfortunately, we've known this was coming for a while now. So I guess those who are of, you know, like the older generation of the NBA knew that unfortunately he was very sick and that this was probably right around the corner, unfortunately.
It's always weird doing shows on days like today. Like I was doing, I was on with Chris Carlin, and early in our show a few weeks ago, Bill Walton passes away. So, yeah. Of course, the rest of the show we're dedicating to Bill Walton. Luckily for me, you know, I'm in tune and up. I could talk about Bill Walton right on the spot, but that's always a tricky spot in a situation like this, you know, especially if you're talking about a guy from, a, you know, a couple generations ago.
Oh, yeah.
We then got to pivot and dedicate the whole show to him, you know?
Yeah. Well, in the case for you and I, because we're basically right around the same age, like these are people that we know of, we know about, but we didn't see play in their prime.
Right.
It's not like, you know, you're sitting there and saying, oh, I remember when I went to this game and West did X, Y, and Z. You know, you went to Lakers games against the Heat, or, you know, in my case, the Heat or the Knicks growing up in New York. But it's like, I'm not thinking Jerry West in that moment, obviously, in that spot.
Yep. Let's do some fun stuff first, and then we'll circle back to the main event, which, of course, is tonight, game three. Number one, you guys do on Wednesdays, you do your personality draft on Unsportsmanlike. I love the personality draft, but would it surprise you to know that I'm waiting for the person every time you're going through the list? I'm waiting for the day, because you can't repeat personalities, right?
Correct.
So I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Am I going to be last picked in kickball? All right. I'm waiting for me to be selected with one of the personality drafts. I mean, come on now.
All right. Good job by you bringing this up. Very smart, backhanded move here. So now, let's talk about what would the category be in which you would be drafted. Because the whole point is we pick ESPN personalities,
yes,
but it's off of like something going on, right? So like we picked it today based on coaching, like who would you want to coach a team that hasn't been a coach, right? So you're not picking, you know, you're not picking PJ Carlissimo, who's been a coach, Rex Ryan. You're not picking some of these. You have to pick somebody that's not a coach, right? So in what topic or what theme would you think you should be picked?
Well, maybe, you know, maybe if hopefully the Florida Panthers win the Stanley Cup and you do a who would you want to be at a championship parade with, you know, maybe then I pop up in something like that.
Now, you and I have been to events together. Let's just go through these in our life. Now, why? Because I'm curious as to why I would pick you in this spot. Let's see. The first big event, non-game we ever went to, was a party in which somehow you ended up sitting on my lap on a cab, yeah, on the way home, to which you fell asleep and went the wrong direction at about 2 o'clock in the morning in Detroit at about 3 degrees. That's number one.
I didn't fall asleep. I did fall asleep, but we didn't go the wrong direction. The story is, because I fell asleep, luckily the cab driver didn't take me somewhere and murder me. He took me to where I was supposed to go.
Right. So you want this celebratory thing. Then we were at a big party a couple of months ago where you're just peppering me, just destroying me because I live too far from the studio and my co-host, yeah, is too tall.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a barrel of laughs to go to a parade or a party with this.
I'm not either.
But I mean, I the parade I'm not into for you with that.
What about who would you want to go to a concert with? I'm a great concert goer. You want to see Pearl Jam? You go with me.
You could say that, but you've asked me to get you Pearl Jam tickets.
That's right. You didn't come through.
I did not. I told you it was going to be impossible. So if I want to go to a concert with you, I have to provide the tickets to you.
Well, I'm not the producer of this show, all right? Tell Pat Costello, somebody come up with the topic where maybe I'm a good participant. You know what? How about Amber Wilson? She's waiting as well. When are you going to select her? She's a fun girl.
Have we never selected Amber for anything?
Nope. She's waiting too, patiently.
Well, that's a bad job by us.
All right.
Not so you.
All right. I'm going to be waiting, though.
If we do a draft, what ESPN personalities that hosted locally together would you want to recreate nationally? I would hope you and Amber get picked.
There you go.
No problem.
There you go. Now we're cooking. Evan, how much attention are you giving on Unsportsmanlike? Are you spending a few minutes on the Florida Panthers?
We've had a couple of guests on. I'm not going to sit here and claim that I'm the biggest hockey guy. We've talked about playoff Bob. We talked about the other day that the fan going up against the glass during the coach's interview. Spent some more time on the Oilers fan that went viral, maybe more than any Panthers fan.
Great fan.
Very good fan. But nobody can find that fan, right?
No, that's not true. She made an appearance on Spittin' Chiclets with Paul Bissonnette and Ryan Whitney the other day. They got her.
Oh, they got her?
Yep, they got her.
And what did she say? I didn't even know this.
Well, first of all, she starts the interview. For people who don't know, Oiler fan, last round, pulls up the sweater. She got the boobs hanging out. Tremendous fan. And so they got her on this show, and it was a surprise. The producer surprised them. They couldn't believe that they got her. And she got the sunglasses and a hat on. She's like in a Groucho Marx mask, essentially. But then eventually she takes the hat off and the glasses. Said she's been laying low, that she didn't expect it to go viral. It's a whole thing. Said she's been laying low.
Wow. I did not know this. So we've given some attention. I'm not going to sit there and say that we have given as much attention as you would like us to give or South Florida would like us to give, but we have given some attention. I think that Bobrovsky obviously doing what he has done has been a huge theme. Michelle Smallman, our co-host, loves Matthew Tkachuk. I think he was on the Blues back in the day when she was covering the NHL. So there's
but I think her father was. I think his father was.
Oh, Keith Tkachuk was on the Blues. I'm sorry. Yes, yeah. My bad. So I think there's been some, but not as much as you would like.
Okay, that's all right. I'm covering it right now.
Where do you think this title ranks? So if we look at, I moved to South Florida in 2003. So we've got the Marlins title in 2003. Yeah. We got the three heats in 2006, 12 and 13. Nothing Dolphins, and then this. Where does this rank? If you were to rank South Florida titles, let's call it last 20 years, 21 years.
Yeah.
Where does this rank? Assuming they win it all.
Well, it's ahead of the Marlins. So at worst, it's top four. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Why would you say that?
First of all, go back to the Marlins during that season. The playoff games, you had 60,000 people, obviously, in Joe Robbie Stadium. But during a regular season game, you couldn't get anyone to come out. At the arena.
Hold on.
But Dontrell was pitching. That's it.
Dontrell, when they fired Torborg, hired McKeon, Dontrell and Cabrera come up, May 11th, something like that, 03, if I'm not mistaken?
Something like that, yeah.
They come up, and I think every time Dontrell pitched, you get 30,000 plus. And that was But the playoffs, I was at all the games. You were there. All the home games, you're talking about the Bonds, Sosa, Yankees. That is a tremendous back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. No, from a fan perspective, the town – way more into it the whole year, way more into what the Panthers are doing than the Marlins in 2003. I think this is easily ahead of the Marlins. Obviously, it's crazy the Marlins won at Yankee Stadium. This would easily would. Again, I'm trying to win game three tomorrow, Evan, all right? I'm not counting my chickens. This would be more impressive than 2003 Marlins. And, it'd have to be behind all three of the Heat titles. You're talking LeBron, you're talking Shaq. I don't know how it surpasses those. But for me, from a fan perspective, it's very, very high for me.
Why? Just because they lost last year, 96. Why?
Well, number one, I've never experienced it. All right. And I'm a Panther fan my entire life. And yeah, when you count 96, it took them 26 years to win another playoff series. That's a prison sentence, okay? You murder someone, you get out quicker than waiting 26 years. So I've been with it through thick and thin.
You know what? We found the ESPN personality draft. The most likely ESPN personality to murder someone. With my first pick, I take Jonathan Zaslow. But he'll be out before the next time the Panthers win.
That's right. So, I've been in the dumps for years. And then to experience this. And here's the kicker, Evan. And hopefully you will experience this one day as well. Because I know you got a son who's growing up. This is the first time in my life that I'm experiencing this fandom with my teenage boys. And that's a different ballgame. When you grow up a sports fan and then you experience it with your kids. And of course, they were way too young. They never experienced the Heat winning. My oldest was 4 years old. Right. They've never experienced a championships. That's what takes it over the top for me. So it's a very good point.
Very good point. So, but just to put a bow on this, theoretically, if I put the Panthers title, hypothetically, in 2003, and I put the Marlins title now, Marlins would be there because of the father-son part of it.
It depends, because was I as invested in the Marlins all these years when they've been shitty the same way that I have been with the Panthers? Did the ownership suck the life out of me all these years? you know, like they have essentially. So there's some mitigating factors there, you know.
Yeah.
And I care more about the Panthers than I do the Marlins too. You know, that's important.
Give you something there. All right.
Hey, is this series over? Mavericks.
I've been thinking. So obviously.
Oh, but hold on. There's a difference, right? Between is the series over and believing the Celtics are going to win. Those are two different things.
You mean, do I think the Mavs are going to come back and win? And that's why
the point being, you could believe the Celtics are going to win this series, but that doesn't mean this series is over. If you pick the Celtics before the series started, is the series over? No, they got to play it.
Okay, a couple of things on this. I've been thinking about this, knowing that I was coming on your show today. And I am a Heat fan, like you. Not as deep as you have been over the course of your whole life, but since I moved to South Florida, I fell in love with the Heat.
Right? Top fan. I mean, come on.
Right. I know. But you also know, to be fair, now, in my front-running nature, I didn't front-run with the Heat because they weren't that good when I got there, to be fair.
What year did you start? 2003?
Yeah, I mean, it was – well, I moved to South Florida in March of 2003, so that's Karan's rookie season, 2002-03, right? The end of it.
Right.
And then the Miami Heat, as an organization, were so great to our radio station, ESPN West Palm, that I'm like, that's it. Like, I didn't like the Knicks growing up in New York. I was never a Knicks guy. So I'm like, I fell in love with this organization. I'm like, they're so nice. Like, they want us to be a part of this. I'm in, right? And then, all of a sudden, this guy Wade got drafted, then Shaq, then LeBron, then Bosh, et cetera, and Jimmy, et cetera. So I was thinking about this and knowing I was coming on today. It's amazing how much the Heat have won the Celtics the title. And let me explain. Mm-hmm. If Jimmy Butler doesn't kick the crap out of Jrue Holiday with the Milwaukee Bucks don't start having a wandering eye. If Joe Cronin and the Portland Trail Blazers decide to trade Damian Lillard to the Miami Heat, or if the Heat decide to go even further into the negotiations or the offer and get Damian Lillard, Jrue Holiday's on the Bucks this year. If Jrue Holiday is not on the Celtics, they don't win the championship. Jrue Holiday was traded because Jimmy Butler showed some flaws in him, and they thought that maybe possibly Damian Lillard could be better. If that does not happen, Zaz, I do not believe the Boston Celtics are winning the championship this year.
Yeah.
And so when I look at what's happened, I have been all season long saying, I don't think they're going to win the title. I think they're missing that Grimey. I think they're missing their Udonis, right?
Me too. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
And I've been wrong because they're just better than everyone else. And the reality is right now, as dumb as this sounds, but it is the truth, and it probably makes me look at the Heat a little differently, they just have six players when everybody's healthy that are good on offense and good on defense. In two cases, elite players in Tatum and Brown, and in one case, elite in his role in Holiday. Like, it's unbelievable what they have put together, and it makes me maybe question a little bit some of the stuff that we've seen with the Heat. Like, I loved Caleb Martin and Haywood Highsmith. They're, like, not good all the time on offense and defense. They're just, like, not. They're not starters necessarily on great teams. And so I think this is over because I just don't think Boston has bad players. And that sounds dumb, but there are some title teams that have had bad. The Heat had not great players going to the finals two of the last 5 years. Guys that you would look at and be like, I mean, your level of dislike for Kyle Lowry is so enormous. Right, but you would deem him not to be that good, yet he's the starting point guard or one of the main contributors, a starter, for a finals team. Gabe Vincent, very nice player. Is Gabe Vincent even in the same ballpark as the six Celtics starters? Not even close.
Right.
Jimmy is. Bam is. Tyler on offense is. But these guys are just good on offense and defense. I think this is over. I don't think Dallas has enough good players to match them.
Sorry to break up the conversation, you guys, but I want to make sure that you got the best homeowners insurance out there. And that's why I direct you to Brunt Insurance. I've been getting my homeowners insurance from Brunt Insurance for about 10 years now. And I keep going back. I keep going back. I keep renewing because I know I have the most comprehensive coverage out there, and I'm getting it at the most affordable rate there is. You know, some of you guys, you're listening now on the west coast of Florida. God forbid you got some damage to your home because of the storm yesterday. Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204, or you go to bruntinsurance.com. And yes, anywhere in Florida, Brunt Insurance has you covered. They have locations all throughout the state. So you could be calling from Pensacola or all the way down to the Keys and beyond. Greg Brunt and his team at Brunt Insurance, his fully licensed staff, they have the expertise, they have the experience, they know what area you're calling from. So they're going to know exactly what type of coverage you need, what kind of policies you have to make sure you have. Hey, that also includes trailers and motorhomes. Let the team at Brunt Insurance help you learn more about your policy options so you're making an informed decision that's not going to keep you up at night. And you don't even have to own your home. Renter's insurance, condo insurance, all the options out there. It can make your head spin. Brunt Insurance specializes in making the confusing crystal clear. When you call 954-589-2204, you're making the right call. Bruntinsurance.com, the only insurance agency that I'm going to send you to. So you think you do not believe the Mavericks are going to win tonight?
I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, that's if you think the series is over, that's the right answer. Okay.
So here, as we sit here today, neither of us, to my knowledge, are aware of Porzingis' status for tonight.
Oh, I can't imagine we see him again.
See, I think he's going to play tonight. Here's my thought process. I wonder, and obviously I could be dead wrong, I wonder if the Celtics look at tonight as game seven. Get him tonight. Because if you go up 3-0, you're not losing the series. You're just not. And you could sit there and say, well, why not save him? If it's 2-2 going back to Boston, give him some more time. I may look at it a little differently. You know what? It's going to sound harsh. If you play tonight, Porzingis, and we win, theoretically, if you're a Boston fan, I don't care if you never play basketball again at that point. You just got us a title. If this comes in, if this affects next season, and I don't mean to sound harsh, this is what he's saying, right? Porzingis is like, unless I'm dead, I want to play. And that's why they took the decision out of his hands, which you respect, right?
I never understand that, the taking the decision out of his hands. He is because a grown man. He is an adult. And you're saying, his long-term health is more important. What if this grown man, this adult, what if what's most important to him is, I want to play and win a championship right now? I hate the taking it out of his hands. These are grown men. It should be his decision.
But, Zaz, I don't think you have to say what if. I think it's pretty clear. Kristaps Porzingis, amongst all of the criticism that this guy has had since he was with the Knicks and then the Mavs, obviously, and now and the Wizards and now the Celtics, he clearly wants to win a championship right this second and doesn't give a crap if he plays basketball again. Now, that also helps that he's guaranteed 2 years, $60 million, whatever it is. But did you say that about Bosch? Because that I understand when the decision is
taken. Oh, come on. That's life and death. That's life and death. That's a completely different thing.
Okay. But he's a grown man, too. And Chris Bosch is one of the smartest people we've ever seen in sports.
You can't have someone die at the workplace.
I agree. I do think it's different. I just want to make sure that we are on the same page on that. I'm telling you. So tonight, I think a couple of things. One, I actually have a weird feeling Porzingis plays. The other thing is I think Kyrie shoots a three to start the game immediately. They run a play for him to get him a three. And I think Tatum has his big moment game tonight. I think Tatum's going to have 30-plus tonight. I could also see both teams going small. Play Tatum at center. And I pitched to Tim Legler the other day. What about playing Luka at center?
Because
here's the way my brain works when it comes to basketball. I always go to one question. What would Spo do? If things weren't working, he'd play LeBron at five. And he'd be like, "What is happening? Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is weird. I don't know how to guard this. What am I supposed to do?" He'd play LeBron near the basket as much as he possibly could. Mm-hmm. And then just put shooters around him because he knew, Luka obviously a way better shooter than LeBron. But playing Luka near the basket and forcing them to either go big or have to go small against him and not just keep – like, I think you go small tonight with Luka at the five if you want to win. In spurts, I don't mean for the entirety of the game. I think the problem with that is that then the Celtics go Tatum at the five, and then you have a big problem because the Celtics are just so good.
Evan, let's talk a little bit about Kyrie here. Obviously, I don't like him. This past year, he's been fantastic. He looks like at the very least, he looks like a pleasant person. Any other time you look at him, you say, that guy's a miserable prick. That has not been the case this year, okay? So, small sample size, but I can give him a little bit of credit for that. If Kyrie Irving, if he plays poor again tonight and they go down 3-0, I believe all the goodwill he's built up this year, gone. I don't want him in the biggest moment after everything that's happened this year and for him to go out with a whimper in these NBA Finals and against the Celtics, where, he looked in his head those first two games. He was horrible. I don't ever want to hear about this Kyrie Irving. He's the most skilled player. Who gives a shit? Is there anything more meaningless than Kyrie being the most skilled player ever when he's horrible in the NBA Finals? Who cares?
Right. So I think sometimes we use code words for basketball players that we don't actually trust to do something, or athletes we don't trust. Like, for example, if you say to me, who's the most talented person you've seen play basketball in person on a regular basis? My answer would surprise you. And the answer I'm going to give you, guy played for the Heat for one single season. The answer I'm going to give you is going to be someone that you're going to say, imagine what he could have been. And my answer is Lamar Odom, the most talented guy I've ever seen play basketball. There was literally nothing he couldn't do. That doesn't mean he is as accomplished as he should have been. That just, like Aaron Rodgers, best thrower of the football. That just means he didn't win as much as Brady. Right? Like that's all you're saying. Kyrie Irving is the most skilled player. That just means he's screwed up doing other things. You never say Michael Jordan's the most skilled player. You never say LeBron's the most skilled player. You just say this guy won 6, that guy won 4. Steph Curry. Okay, we say greatest shooter. We never say most talented, greatest skill. No, he's won 4 and he's won finals MVP and 2 regular season MVPs unanimously. Like when the guy's really good and accomplished and lived up to what he should do, you never have the other terms. Kyrie Irving is given the other terms because everyone knows, and people just don't want to say it. As great as he is, he has not lived up to what we thought because he wasted the last 5 or 6 years of his entire career, and he did it. And I agree with you. If you isolated just woke up in 2024 and you never heard of this person before and you saw everything he said, heard everything he said, and watched him play basketball, you would think he should win the Citizenship Award. It's unfortunate that at no point has he come out and said, you know, the person I was then that spread anti-Semitic messages, the person I was then that went to city council meeting Zooms during games, the person I was then that asked out of this place and that place and called the media pawns in his game, that's not me now. And I apologize for anybody I hurt. I didn't do it intentionally. I was in a different state of mind, different thought process then than I am now. I'm a much better person now. I hope you can judge me on my surface today versus what I was then. One time. Give me that one time. I'm not saying I'm going to forget, but I can move on. The person and the player that he's been this year, agreed, Zaz. You said it. I don't want to say likable because I can't get myself to say that. Right. But I get why the Mavericks want to employ him. Just acknowledge the harm you actually did to people, whether intentionally or not in the past. But you're right. If you now are not that great at basketball in these biggest of moments, everything gets quiet. And then we're going to have the conversation in the offseason. We're way ahead of ourselves here. We're going to have the conversation in the offseason, though. Should the Mavs sell high? Because you start to wonder, is this really who he is? Is he going to revert back? If he gets blamed for all of this, how is he going to handle this? Right? I mean, that's a whole other...
Well, that's why those first 2 games in Boston, it's like, all right, he's done and said all the right things leading up to this. How's he going to respond? Well, he didn't respond to the crowd, so that's good. But boy, he didn't show up on the floor.
But he brought the, again, these are where the moments happen with him that you're like, what is wrong with you? Why would you go after the Boston fans?
Oh, after game one that they weren't loud enough?
The dumbest quote I've ever seen in my life. Kyrie, just sit there and say what you want about life and everything like that as long as it's not harmful. I'm not saying shut up and dribble. I would never do that. But there's 2 groups of people you don't go after as an athlete, the fans and the media. And he's gone after both of them. What? You want everyone turning after you? Turning on you? It's ridiculous.
Evan, you think the series is over? You believe the Celtics are going to win tonight? Give me a reason real quick here to even watch it then.
Well, I do think the idea of Porzingis not being 100%, the Mavs having struggled with offense the last 2 games, I think provides something for us as basketball fans where we can go into game 3 tonight and expect the unexpected. Different lineups I think both teams will use. I expect Tim Hardaway Jr. to be dusted off at some point. You know, I was making this point on the air this week. Again, what would Spo do is everything, right? For me, Spo is the king of the dust off, where he looks down at the bench. He's like, you haven't played in a month. You go out there. Then Mike Miller hits like 6 threes with 1 shoe. Right? Shane Battier having big game. Dexter Pittman starting a playoff game. Like, these are the things that Spo, Rashard Lewis, was so good at. And just like, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. It's cliche. But Eric Spoelstra mastered that and has mastered that. where he just has a gut feeling like, hey, I'm going to use you tonight, and you're going to be great. I think Dallas has to have that. Tim Hardaway Jr., Dwight Powell, whomever it may be. Dwight Powell's not getting you to watch. But you get my point. That you're. I think we have a chance tonight to see things that we haven't seen in the first couple of games, to give us storylines maybe tomorrow that we weren't expecting.
Evan, you said it all. Now I just got to wait with bated breath when I'm going to get in on this unsportsmanlike personality draft. Every Wednesday, I'm going to be locked in waiting for it now.
Well, you know, there's another topic you could I could potentially draft you with if we ever get to it. We haven't talked about this. Something wrestling related.
Oh, okay.
You know, I took my son to the Westchester County Center to a WWE event a few weeks ago.
How was it?
Excellent. I did not realize the house shows now.
House shows are great. House
have
are great.
The regular card. I figured it was like you and I in the ring.
Nope. House shows are great. Long matches, lots of interaction with the crowd.
Cody Rhodes was there. Jey Uso was there. Yeah. That's a good card.
Any of the women? Which of the women wrestlers do you like?
Cargill. What's her name? Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill. Sure.
Very good. Very good. Good card. I was into it.
That's a good job out of you.
Real to me, some may say.
All right. It's still real to me. Come on now. Evan, excellent job. Appreciate you coming on as always, man. Thank you so much.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Excellent job by Evan Cohen. All right, before we continue on here, guys, you know the summer sales event is going on right now at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the only car dealership we personally endorse here on Zaslow Show 2.0. Real easy to find North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. It's that brand new state-of-the-art facility on North Andrews Avenue. You can see it from I-95 at the Cypress Creek Road exit. And right now with the summer sales event, you can make zero down payment, make zero payments for 3 months, plus zero security deposit and 0% APR financing on select new Subarus. And right now, you can get 0% APR up to 72 months on the Subaru Solterra. What about the 2024 Subaru Crosstrek? $219 a month for 36 months with $59.95 due at signing with approved credit. Go to nflsubaru.com. That's nflsubaru.com for full details. Whatever you're looking for, an extensive new and pre-owned Subaru inventory, use cars, trucks, SUVs of every make and model, you're sure to find your next vehicle at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. Don't miss the summer sales event going on all month long at North Fort Lauderdale Subaru. North Fort Lauderdale Subaru, the location you know with an experience you'll love. So we'll get to Maria Marino coming up in a few minutes. She will make her Zaslow Show 2.0 debut. She is excellent. I've done shows with her on the weekend on ESPN Radio. She's going to be, I think, she's going to be our WNBA expert, all right? So we'll do some Caitlin Clark with her. She's a huge Ranger fan, all right? We almost had a blood feud during the Eastern Conference Finals. We'll see. But first, I gave you the big news of the day, and that's that Sasha Barkov was at practice this morning. He was at skate. He was wearing the regular jersey. He was wearing a regular helmet and visor, so that would tell you no broken jaw. And if he had a concussion, this would also tell you that he is past that at this point. So, past the protocol. Amazing news. Now, yesterday, as far as Leon Draisaitl goes, he's not getting suspended, not even fined. That's kind of crazy. But he was never going to get suspended. And here's, let's use some logic. Well, maybe the NHL player and safety office is not using logic, but here's logic for us fans, you know. I was watching, you know, I like that show, What Chaos. It's part of the All City Network. Peter Blackburn, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago. And they had John Butchergross yesterday. They're talking about it. And Butchergross, who's been on the show before as well. By the way, any episodes of Zaslow Show 2.0 that you missed, you can always go back in the archives and watch. You can go on the YouTube page and watch all the interviews. I post all of those in their entirety, like Evan Cohen today. All right? If you want to watch a little bit of our conversation, if you want to watch a conversation that we're going to have here in a few minutes with Maria Marino, youtube.com/@Zaslow Show. Tell all your friends. All right? I love you a long time. So anyway, Butchergross yesterday on What Chaos, he says to them, look, you go back to Sam Bennett not being suspended on the Marchand hit. You go back to Jacob Trouba not being suspended on the Evan Rodriguez hit. There's no way Leon Draisaitl is being suspended then. And he's right. Especially the Trouba hit last round on Evan Rodriguez was so much worse than what happened with Leon Draisaitl on Sasha Barkov. So with that logic, yeah, there's no way, there was no way Draisaitl was going to be suspended. All right, so it is what it is, but I don't care. As long as Barkov is playing, then I don't care. You know what? As long as Barkov's playing, I'm glad Draisaitl's not suspended then. How about that? Yeah, there's no reason that the Panthers can't win this series. With Draisaitl on the ice for the Oilers. It's not like we're down 0-2 and I hope Draisaitl's going to get suspended. No, it's a complete opposite. So if Barkov can play, as long as he's good to go, I don't care about Draisaitl being suspended or not being suspended. Let him play. We're moving on. It looks like everything is good to go with Sasha Barkov. I do want to read something here real quick before we get to Maria. So I got this message on my YouTube yesterday. You know, you can leave comments, which I would love for you to do. You can leave comments. And, you know, this user left a comment under the Ed Jovanovsky spot yesterday. And he wrote here, Zaslow, I want this for our boys. Good guys, great players, and coached by the hockey god of coaching, Paul Maurice. Us fans probably don't deserve it as they do in a hockey-crazy city like Edmonton. But for the boys and for Maurice, who spent his entire life dedicated to sport, I want it. All right. Everything you're saying there is essentially true, but I push back on the whole us fans probably don't deserve it as much as they do in a hockey crazy city like Edmonton. I do deserve it. You deserve it. The great Panther fans here deserve it as much as Edmonton does, as much as everyone does. Now, there are not as many of us here in South Florida that are as hockey crazed as in the city of Edmonton, but the folks who are so into it, like me, are just as into it as everyone in Edmonton. None of those Oilers fans up there in Edmonton, they don't care more about the Oilers winning than I care about the Panthers winning. Now, there are more people like that there than there are here, but just, you know, man to man, one on one, you put the huge Oiler fan up against the huge Panther fan there. They don't deserve it more than us. We care just as much as they do. So I'll push back a little bit on that right there. All right. Anyway, let's get to Maria. All guests on Zaslow Show 2.0 brought to us by the official beer of the program, Johnny Cuba. European roots with that Caribbean soul. Pick up a refreshing German lager in a can, your local Cidano's, a Presidente, Winn-Dixie. How else are you going to enjoy the NBA Finals Game 3 tonight? Make sure you always drink responsibly, and don't forget Johnny Cuba's mantra, stay tranquilo. I am definitely never tranquilo during Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Final games. I'll be a little bit more relaxed tonight with Game 3 of the NBA Finals, and our friend Maria Marino, Action Network. Of course, you've heard her ESPN Radio. I've done some shows with her. I enjoy that. Maria, hello. How are you today?
Zaz, I'm doing well. Probably not as good as you with your Panthers up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Final. Congrats on that. Definitely have been thinking of you during their run, but definitely excited to have another NBA Finals game tonight.
It's so funny. And I went through this, of course, you know, when I was a lot younger and I started out doing the radio. You know, I was on 790 a ticket for almost 20 years, 18 years, right out of college. And so I went through all the Miami Heat, you know, championship years in the run. And so it's such a funny thing that you just said that, thinking of you during the Panther games, where people, now I know you, but people who I don't know, you know, listeners like Zadlos thinking about you during the game. And it's the strangest experience that, because in this case, ESPN Radio has really been good to me about allowing my fandom to come out on the air. They really have been good about that. And so people think of me during the games. It's so weird.
It's a little bit weird. I guess you should be flattered.
Yeah. But
I will say this, having worked with you a couple times now on ESPN Radio, I don't think your fandom thus far anyway has been obnoxious. I don't think, like, you know, it's been over the top or anything. And that's why I'm okay with, you know, giving you those positive vibes.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I actually take pride in that. Like, I don't believe that I'm an obnoxious fan. You know, for instance, okay, so Maria is a Rangers fan, all right? And there are a bunch of Ranger fans who work up in Bristol behind the glass who are producers. And, you know, like when the series is going on, the Panthers are ahead 3-2, or even after they won the series, like, I don't send messages to them, ha-ha, you know, we beat you. Like, because on the other side, I take that shit serious, Maria. Like, the taunting, and I know a lot of people like taunting their friends. There's nothing more fun than when your friend's team loses.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. Like, that's not fun to me, you know?
I'm all about, you know, keeping it classy. And, like, I think karma's a thing too. Like, I don't want to be, it takes a lot of overconfidence, I think, to, like, talk that level of trash. So, I mean, you gotta keep it positive, because it's all going to come back around.
Are you still, like, are you still watching these Stanley Cup finals, or because the Rangers are out, you're trying to check
them? So I'll be honest with you. I didn't really watch the first two games super closely in real time. I'm more of a hoops gal. Like, you know this about me. That's why I'm on today, is I'm, you know, NBA, WNBA, just basketball in general, obsessed. So hockey is, like, it's cool, but it's not my, like, It's not necessarily got my, you know, my heart tied to it in the way that it does for you.
All right. So we'll see if you got some plays for the finals tonight. We'll do a little NBA finals with you. But like Maria said, I really want to talk to you about what's going on with Caitlin Clark. You know, I'll talk about it a little bit here on Zaslow Show 2.0. But I don't try and pretend that I'm a WNBA expert. I'm exactly the type of person that they are happy with what's going on right now, meaning I haven't paid any attention to WNBA ever. And now this year, I'm not necessarily watching the games, but I check all the box scores. I know what's going on. I'm dialed into what's happening in the league now. So I'm a great example of the way that the league is growing right now, but I want to have someone on who, you know, obviously is involved with it. So I'll just ask you a real general question to start here. Is all of the discourse around Caitlin Clark, is it a good thing or a bad thing for the league?
I think it's ultimately a good thing. I know some people will think differently and say, oh, I'm so sick of the negativity. But you know what? We're talking about it, and we have to talk about it. It's to the point now where it's so undeniable that it can't be ignored. And I think that can only help the WNBA especially get into more people's general wheelhouse in terms of their knowledge, what they care about. It's one of those conversations that it's a water cooler conversation. It's like you bump into somebody. It's like, if you don't know what's going on, you kind of feel stupid. And so, like, I also don't appreciate, like, people making it seem like everything is negative. That's just maybe what they're seeing or what they choose to see. There's a lot of really, really great things. I know it can be frustrating, particularly because there are some folks in the media that have megaphones that, you know, maybe aren't necessarily bringing the nuance to the conversation that they would if it were a topic that they've been covering for years and years. But I'm okay with that. I'm not like one of those gatekeepers being like, no, I should be the one to talk about it because I've been covering it. It's like, no, I'm excited to see the increase of just, like, general casual fans. I'm like, welcome, like, come on in. Like, let's get into this. Like, this is going to be fun. So overall, I'm okay with the amount of conversation. I think there has to be context given where possible. And I think people also need to open their minds a little bit And have a little bit of patience and be willing to learn. Like, don't just come on in and think like you have the whole, you know, the whole story figured out. Like, be willing to dive a little deeper, ask a few questions, watch the damn games. Cause I'm telling you, the product is phenomenal and it's been that way for a few years, but the games, like, they're so good. They're so fun. And once you sort of get into that and start looking at the game itself and not just the cultural issues surrounding it, that's when you're really going to get a lot out of it.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned how you don't want to be one of those gatekeepers, you know, because, and you mentioned nuance as well. There's not usually a lot of nuance when it comes to the, you know, sports talk radio or sports talk shows, however you want to look at it. And it's like, yeah, if the WNBA is going to be on the level of these other sports when it comes to people paying attention, I think it was Dan Le Batard who said yesterday, you got to welcome in the idiots.
Yeah, for sure. And again, like, I'm okay with doing that. I'm okay with bringing some context, bringing some angles that maybe somebody didn't think of before. It's kind of been what I've prided myself on in my career, not just with women's basketball, but with anything. Like, just bringing, you know, a different angle to it and a different understanding.
So, Caitlin Clark, Team USA, give me some thoughts there. I'll tell you real quick my thought here. I have no problem with her being left off the team.
Yeah.
I think in general, it's not Team USA's job. And again, it's not WNBA, it's Team USA. It's not Team USA's job to look out for ratings. That's number one. I think it's a pretty easy thing to say. But also, I don't think Caitlin Clark's one of the 12 best players in the WNBA right now. I mean, she's probably not. Mm-hmm. And B, I'm not sure, she hasn't earned being on Team USA yet, would be my first opinion. You know, she earned being the number one overall pick in the draft because of her collegiate career. She's been a professional for like a month and she's been all right. She hasn't been great. She's not even the best rookie. So I have no problem with her being left off Team USA.
Well, hold on there. I don't know if I would say she's not the best rookie quite yet, Zaz. I mean, I know she's had some turnover issues. Her percentages are a little low, but her usage is through the roof, both not just comparing to rookies, but to the league as a whole. So that's something to keep in mind. But to answer your question about sort of my reaction of the news of her being left off Team USA's roster, I was on ESPN Radio on Saturday when this news first broke. And so, you know, was able to kind of have that gut reaction. And it really hasn't changed all that much for me. And in general, I am okay with her being left off the roster. I think you could see arguments for both sides. If you told me, hey, Caitlin Clark made Team USA, I'd be like, awesome. I wouldn't be up in arms. I wouldn't be like, this is outrageous. But you're telling me she is left off the team. And I feel the same. I'm not freaking out. I think it's fine. People, you actually just said like top 12 WNBA players. I think that's generally what you're looking for on a Team USA roster. But I would say this too. It's not just who's the top 12. I think when you're putting together an Olympic team, you need the right mix. You need to build a team. You need to have players that fit together. You need to have veterans. You need to have, I think, some youth in there. You need to have players that have played together. So for me, it's not even so much who's the most competent, who has played together. And the biggest thing that people keep kind of brushing over is Caitlin Clark was not able to train with this team. I really think that the timing of USA Women's Basketball training camp being during the Final Four and some of the other timing, you know, scheduling with the lead up to these Olympic Games was just not in Caitlin's favor. It's hard to not only throw someone out there who is a rookie, who has had some growing, you know, minor expected growing pains in the W, but somebody who has not put the time in to train with this squad, to get to know this coaching staff, to get to know Cheryl Reeves' scheme. So that to me is more than anything. It's not like I'm saying Caitlin Clark is not a good enough basketball player. She is. She is a good enough basketball player to be on this team, but she hasn't had a chance to train with the team. And when you're looking at the Olympic cycle, that's huge. Like, there are players like for instance, like a Kelsey Plum or Jackie Young. the Sabrina Ionescu, those guards, they've been trying to make this team for years. You know, they've been, for years have been playing internationally with this group at training camp. So, and that's no fault of Caitlin. She was in college, you know, in Iowa, breaking records and making it to Final Fours. It's not her fault. She, you know, she couldn't attend those camps. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And then also, I feel for Caitlin because a lot of what she's doing, look, her game and what she's brought to it, skill-wise, in my opinion, is unprecedented. She's done things that we have never seen, and she deserves the coverage that she's getting. It's amazing that she's brought so many new fans to the sport, but I almost feel bad for her that it's like all of a sudden her responsibility, like she has to save women's college basketball. She has to save the WNBA. Now she's the savior of the Olympics. How about what's best for Caitlin? Like, it's actually best for Caitlin. We're not thinking about putting the world on her shoulders. We're just thinking about Caitlin. This woman could use a break. And I think that might actually be not even just what's best for her, but best for the game as a whole. Because another thing people aren't talking about, Zaz, and I'm going to give it to you because I'm here with you. The Olympics and the WNBA, yes, they are tied together. WNBA players play on the Olympics. They're not the same entity. People have had no problem rooting for Team USA. They have no problem rooting for USA women's basketball to win gold. There have been problems with people not wanting to support the WNBA in the past. I think it's more important for Caitlin and the sport to have the Indiana Fever being competitive down the stretch of the WNBA season, because when the Olympics are over, I still want you to pay attention. I still want you to pay attention to what's going on in the W. And so I actually think people are talking about what's best for the sport. You got to parcel it out just a little bit. USA women's basketball and the WNBA have had different narratives over time. Like, there's just been a lot more hateful discourse up until recently about the WNBA. You know this. I mean, you would see the vitriol on social media. It thankfully, it's a lot better now than it used to be even 3-4 years ago. But a healthy Caitlin, a competitive Indiana Fever, that's what I want to see. I want to see that. Because the USA, they're going to be competitive no matter what. Let's keep this growth of the WNBA. Let's keep that top of mind. And I think that matters when August comes around and everybody's starting to watch football. Like, all right, I'm ranting here. So just
go on.
Like, okay, so we're watching the Olympics. Like, I'm sorry, like, a lot of people, yeah, they like to watch the swimming. They like to watch track and field. Why? Because we don't get to see that all the time. But how about when the WNBA season continues and football starts coming around, it's late in the baseball season, all these things, like, what I want to keep that momentum going. So let's sort of embrace, like, Caitlin getting some rest, the Indiana Fever working on some shit because they need it. And like, I want to see them maybe they don't make the playoffs, but I want to see them playing meaningful games down the stretch of the season. And I think that ultimately is going to continue to propel the views of the WNBA forward and women's basketball forward in ways that are more valuable than Caitlin's presence in Paris.
Hey, we'll get right back to the conversation. But first, I got to let you guys know, you know, one of our great sponsors here is out there trying to help get you a new home. That's right. If you're thinking about getting a new home in any part of beautiful South Florida, I'm sending you to Signature Real Estate Finder. That's right. Matthew H. Mashler, your trusted real estate broker, Signature Real Estate Finder, realestatefinder.com. If you're thinking about getting a new home, that should be an enjoyable experience. You shouldn't have anxiety over it. And the reason that you're going to be able to find the best home at the best price in the best neighborhoods, finding you exactly what you want, is if you get someone with over a decade of experience. Matthew H. Mashler specializes in luxury homes. He is a certified luxury home marketing specialist, realestatefinder.com. You can contact Matthew H. Mashler at 561-208-3334. That's 561-208-3334. Maybe you're just trying to sell one of your properties right now. The best way to sell it at the best price, get it off the market right quick. Matthew H. Mashler, realestatefinder.com. Maybe you're already in the business. Are you ready to take your real estate career to the next level? You can join the Signature team. The Signature Real Estate Companies are South Florida's industry leaders, ranked number one in Boca, one of the tops in all of Florida, and with offices all throughout the state, including Delray Beach, Coral Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Naples, Palm Beach, Orlando, a whole lot more. The Signature team is where you want to be. So whether you're looking to buy your next dream home, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334. If you're looking to sell your current property, realestatefinder.com, or you're just looking to join the best in the business, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334, realestatefinder.com. Matthew H. Mashler, your pathway to exceptional real estate experiences. I think you're right. You know, like you mentioned earlier about there being nuance to these discussions. It's so easy when the news comes out that she's not on the team to blast Team USA, when in reality, I think everything you're saying is spot on.
Well, I appreciate that. And look, you and I haven't even gotten into the credentials of the women that were selected for this team. And, you know, I think there are certainly a couple of players that when you're looking at it, the observer would be like, maybe questioning. And one of them is Chelsea Gray, because she's been injured and she hasn't played yet during this W season. She's expected to return prior to the Olympic break. So I can understand why some people would question that. She's also, I mean, prior to her injury, I mean, she's the point god. Like, she's point god. Like, she is phenomenal. And then, you know, Diana Taurasi, she's going for her sixth gold medal. She's 42 years old. And some people say, well, give someone else a turn. Would you tell LeBron James not to, you can't play, you're out? And if you think that's a crazy comparison, Diana Taurasi has been in the W for 20 years. Their careers are remarkably similar. She's got multiple championships. She's the all-time leading scorer in the W. Are you telling LeBron to sit down? Are you telling LeBron, no, we don't want you, we're good? No, you're not. Because first of all, Diana is still balling. And look, veteran leadership is very important. Like, I get it. Like, I really do. It's just that simple. Like, you're not telling LeBron, sorry. If he wants to play, you're not telling him, sorry. Like, give someone else a turn.
It feels a little bit like everyone else is mad for Caitlin Clark. I'm not even sure that Caitlin Clark is mad about it. She may actually understand the whole situation.
Well, did you hear her, Zaz, saying, someone said, you know, what was your level of disappointment? Asked her flat out. And she said, no disappointment. Like, she understands what's going on. And
she's likely going to have two or three more opportunities to be on Team USA.
Yeah. And look, sometimes we say that in sports. Even I think it's harder when you get to say, like, the finals, or you have a chance to win a championship. Oh, they'll be back. It's easier said than done.
No, however, the Olympics are coming around. They're coming every 4 years.
Yes. 100%. 100%. And so I totally agree with you. And I think she's taken everything in stride. And also, she wants to earn it. Like, how would you feel if someone was like, hey, you made the team, and you know in your heart of hearts that maybe you weren't the most qualified for that team? Is that fair for that player?
I think she's better off this way.
Yeah, because what is she would be, it's kind of a lose-lose in terms of the discourse. Mm-hmm. But like, people would be saying she doesn't deserve, you know, she doesn't make the team, she deserves it. She makes the team, she doesn't deserve it. It's
why,
like,
why isn't she playing more?
100%. And like, she doesn't need it right now. She's going to be fine. Women's basketball is going to be fine. There's no going back now, Zaz. Like, the viewership, the just the general cultural awareness, it's not going to just disappear. And it's only going to keep growing. So this has been a long, drawn out way of me saying, I'm fine. I'm good.
I'm good with it too. I think you did an excellent job there.
Thank you.
Game three. Tell everyone again real quick before I ask you about the NBA. You have the WNBA podcast you do, right?
Yeah. So I am with Action Network, where, you know, sports betting focused. And one of the things I do is host a WNBA betting podcast called Buckets. So definitely check that out. Also doing a number of NBA specific shows. Mostly, you know, we have great analysts on there that are they're fantastic. So, you know, in terms of picks and stuff like that, that's the place to go.
Are you leaning one way or the other with tonight's game three, Dallas and Boston?
Yeah. So I lean Dallas just because of the desperation spot. And because I think if they played even a fraction better than they did in game two, they win that game. And I don't see Luka and even Kyrie sort of going down without a fight. And I think if you're going to win a game, this is the one that it has to be. Look, the spread's incredibly close. It was like a point and a half. I'm a little hesitant on the full game spread just because Boston has so many weapons. They're so disciplined defensively. And I could see Dallas just going gangbusters in the first half and then Boston sort of making some adjustments and their experience sort of coming through because as great as Luka has been, his bench players, you know, or the players around him aren't as experienced. And that's showed a little bit. They've struggled. They've gotten, I think, a little bit overwhelmed at times. And it's kind of like what we saw with the Pacers. I do wonder in those clutch moments, like if it's a close game, who, you know, if the ball's not in Luka's hands, who's making the decision? You know, I think there could be something tricky there. So I actually do lean Dallas in like first quarter, first half. Because Luka has been way better in the first half than he has in the second. And part of that is because he's been so ball dominant. His usage is through the roof and he's just getting tired. You know, he's getting tired in the second half. Now, I do wonder this, Zaz, and tell me what you think. Mm-hmm. I know how good Luka is. Sometimes, look, you cannot beat a team. You cannot play basketball 5-on-5 and have one player beat a 5-person team. It just doesn't work. You know, so we saw Luka playing phenomenal out of his mind and they still lose the game. And so I wonder if he needs to get his teammates involved a little bit more early. Like, I know, you know, you want to get off to a hot start, but like somebody like a Kyrie Irving, for example, and look, it's a different animal because we're coming from Boston and there's all kinds of like background stuff with him. But like Kyrie, you need to get in a rhythm. You need to get some touches. And so if he's constantly deferring to Luka or waiting for Luka, like I could see how that would affect a player like Kyrie Irving.
Need these guys to hit shots. You know, Luka's the only player on the Mavericks these first two games combined that has more than one 3-point field goal made. Think about that. No one else on the team has made more than one 3-point field goal. Now, we know the old adage, role players always play better at home.
Yeah.
All right. So I PJ Washington, Maxi Kleba, certainly Kyrie Irving, these guys, they have to be able to hit threes. One 3-point field goal made through two games. Yeah. For everyone, like that, it's not enough. And I know Luka said, Luka actually almost carried them by himself that game two win. 8 turnovers. He missed a ton of free throws. Like they almost won 1-5 in game two.
Yeah.
But the other guys have to hit shots. See, you can't have just one 3-point field goal made for everybody through two games.
Yeah, for sure. And part of that is, look, Boston is incredibly disciplined defensively, and they take a lot of pride in that. I think Kristaps Porzingis helped them a lot in that area too, because he has so much length and he just bothers everybody. And so
Not gonna play tonight. There is no way we see him again. I don't
believe I don't know, but I'm not counting on it is the thing, and I don't think Boston is either, and I think they're gonna be prepared for that. But they've also played a lot without KP. I don't think they're gonna be panicking, you know, without Kristaps Porzingis. Like, it's certainly nice to have him. He was phenomenal, especially in game one, but you know, they're perfectly comfortable and capable without him. I just, gosh, I, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine Dallas going down.
I think Dallas wins to none,
right?
I hate the whole series is over stuff. I think Dallas wins tonight. I think we still got a series. I think
yeah,
tonight.
Good. I'm with you.
Maria, excellent job. Did we leave anything out as far as how folks can find you?
No, I mean, look, I'm on social at Maria C. Marino, and it's been a pleasure. Thank you for letting me come on and vent. I feel like that was so therapeutic.
No, you are now officially our Zaslo Show 2.0 WNBA correspondent.
Right?
You are it, Maria. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Of course.
That's a good job out of Maria right there. How about that? So now, because you guys know, I know what I know. I also know what I don't know. All right. And I'm not some WNBA guy. Maria knows what she's talking about. I think she's our WNBA correspondent now. Excellent job out of her. Let's get to Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. Always brought to us where we get all of the big deals on all of our favorite local South Florida sports team apparel. Caneswear. Caneswear and Davey, you can stop by today. Weather stinks, so you might as well duck on inside to Caneswear and Davey, 2655 South University Drive, and check out all your latest gear. Everybody knows they got the largest selection of Miami Hurricanes gear, but if you're looking for your Dolphins, your Heat, your Inter Miami, all your new Stanley Cup Finals Florida Panthers gear, go to caneswear.com. You can search right from the comfort of your home. They'll deliver it right to your front door. Hats, t-shirts, everything you're looking for all of your favorite local sports teams. Caneswear is more than a store. It's an experience. 2655 South University Drive. Caneswear is the spot. South Florida sports fans shop for all of the big deals. Big deal or not a big deal? First up, so, you know, Greg Cody from the Dan Le Batard Show, he's making waves, right? Calling Connor McDavid McOverrated. Well, on the show yesterday, he took a victory lap.
I try to take a victory lap every 30 years or so, and I took one in the early 90s for my Trade Marino column. Proved to be accurate because he never won a Super Bowl. Now, 30 years later, Connor McOverrated, has never won a Stanley Cup. So I'm taking a victory lap for that, too, because at 2-0 down, doesn't look like he's going to win one this time either.
I'm going a big deal because, I mean, Craig Cody's talking about it like as if the Panthers have already won this series. Settle down. All right. Can we focus on winning game 3? Enough already. That's a big deal. Big deal or not a big deal? So I told you what chaos hosted by Peter Blackburn yesterday. I watched the whole show. Wanted to see the reaction to the Panthers game 2 win. And here's Pete Blackburn on Aaron Ekblad choking out and forcing Evan Bouchard to tap out.
I thought that the most ridiculous part of that play was Evan Bouchard trying to tap out of the headlock.
We're going to disagree on this. I'm not going to give him that hard a time for tapping out when he's getting choked.
I am. Asking Aaron Ekblad to please let me go, sir, is not good behavior for a guy in a Stanley Cup final. I want more fight. I know that...
You're saying not wanting to be choked is a bad look?
You can not want to be choked, but you don't try to tap out of it.
So like, you just get choked like yes, a man.
I 1,000% would rather be choked unconscious on the ice than tap out.
Okay, I disagree. I would rather not get choked.
I would rather not get choked, but I'm not gonna sit there.
You said you would rather get choked than tap out.
I would rather get choked unconscious.
Get choked unconscious and try to fight my way out of getting choked than tap out and ask, please, sir, let me go. What's your read on that? Is that good behavior, bad behavior?
Yeah, that's a bad look. That's a gif forever, right?
Yeah, I'm going big deal. I think it's a terrible look. How about instead of tapping out? I mean, try and fight your way out. Go on kicking and screaming. How about flail your arms? Try and punch him in the face. Tap it. Oh, please, Aaron. Please stop choking me. I mean, what an asshole. All right. That's a big deal. And finally, big deal or not a big deal. Last night, I told you last week, Evan Husney, who's one of the executive producers and co-creators of Vice TV's Dark Side of the Ring, he joined us. You can always go back and watch on youtube.com/@Zaslow Show or go back to last week's episode that Evan Husney joined us on. And last night was part 2 of the 4-part series, Who Killed WCW? I'm going to get to watch it part 2 shortly after we get done with the show today. And my man, my all-time favorite, Bret Hitman Hart, he was on on part 2. And here's a little clip how he feels about his time in WCW.
I was a very good witness to the madness that was WCW. I've got lots to say about it. What a bunch of idiots, imbeciles, stupid as it gets. Stupid, clueless idiot, a bunch of clueless nuts. Is there anybody here that's got any brains? Stupid, stupid, stupid every day, every night. So stupid. Yeah, just really stupid. The biggest cutthroat bunch of conniving, backstabbing idiots you've ever seen in your life. That is such bullshit. It's the work of an idiot. Pathetic, really stupid idiots. Are you an idiot? Lost? Idiot. He was the shits. You will always be seen as a complete failure. The term motherfuckers would have been crossing my mind pretty regular. Thanks for nothing. Go fuck yourselves.
Oh, I'm going big deal. I mean, look, I love Bret Hart. He is so bitter. So bitter. I can't wait to watch it. I'm going big deal. And that right there is another edition of Big Deal or Not a Big Deal. And as always, brought to us where we get all of the big deals. Canes Wearing Davey, just south of 595 on the west side of University. Caneswear.com. Caneswear is the spot Miami fans shop for all of the big deals. Yes! All right, so tomorrow, we'll have NBA Finals react to. It'll be a game day Panthers game 3. Let's go! I think it's going to be a good show. I think tonight's going to be a good night. Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes, your hard work. It's always appreciated. Can't do all these shows without you. It's inspiring, the work you put into making sure this show is top-notch every single day. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow on another edition of Zaslow Show 2.0. Know what that means. Ah, the show is over. What better time now than to go out back with a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. That's right. That's what I look forward to after every show. And now my day's work is done. I got a six-pack of Johnny Cuba. We're talking European roots with a Caribbean soul. I'm going to sit outside by the pool here at the Zaslow Mansion and just enjoy the rest of my day. Having a Johnny Cuba makes me feel like I'm right back in the Caribbean. We're talking a refreshing German lager in a can. You can get it anywhere. Sedano's, Presidente, Winn-Dixie. And right now, you got special holiday prices on six packs of Johnny Cuba. Make sure you pick up your Johnny Cuba merch as well. We got the hot sauce coming up. Johnny Cuba, stay tranquilo because more is always brewing.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.